Hello, my spooky friends.
My name is Cassie.
And I'm Caitlin.
And welcome in to I'd Survive.
Hi, guys. Hi, Cassie.
Hi.
How are you doing? Don't sigh. Don't sigh. Don't sigh.
Oh, we just had quite a long chat.
Per usual.
And it just is making me think about a million different things.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm excited today to turn my brain off to all of that and be in whatever you have in store. I've never heard of Shook, so I am intrigued.
Are you shook?
I'm shook. I'm so quaking shook right now. Is that what people quaking? Okay, anyways.
I'm so quaking shook right now. You guys wouldn't even believe it. Oh, so did you watch any horror movies this past week?
Okay, let me fill you in.
Oh, boy.
So I finally watched American Psycho.
Oh, yes. Okay.
Yes, which I thought for the longest time that I'd seen.
Mm-hmm.
But I had this realization that, no, I haven't seen that movie. I've only seen one movie from it that was shown to me in a film class.
Wait, well, like one scene?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. It was like this film class. And I remember we were talking about like the importance of music in a movie. There's one scene where like music is very prevalent. I think we just talked about the movie in general, but I don't freaking remember what that conversation was in my senior year of high school.
Right.
But the scene stuck out to me so much that I thought I had just watched the movie. And then I was like, wait, what happens in that movie? I can't think of anything. And I was like, oh, it's because I just haven't seen this. I have it literally logged as watched on Letterboxd. And I was like, I haven't watched that.
That's so crazy.
So I watched it and it was interesting. I had no idea that it was like female-led director, producer. Like it's made by women.
I didn't know that either.
Yeah, I was surprised by that. It's a really cool character study movie. And my personal like theories, I think, spun a little bit into conspiracy theories.
Oh.
Like mode at the end, which I don't know how people will respond to that, because I looked it up like after watching the movie. I was like, is this what everyone else is thinking? You know, I googled it and no, not really.
Hey, we get a new perspective.
Yes, but hopefully I'm sure my YouTube comments will tell me, you know, what's actually going on in the movie. But I kind of like my theories better. I've not even heard any other ones, but I just like was so red string being like, oh my God, this meant this and this meant this and this meant this.
Okay, well maybe you're right and everyone else is wrong.
I finally cracked the code. No one's been understanding. Yeah. Other movie that I watched was this Korean movie called A Tale of Two Sisters from like 2008 or something. It was based off of a recommendation and I was just like, okay, let's see what this is about.
Sure.
I'd never heard of it myself, but it was really interesting. It was really cool. Genre-wise, I would call it like a paranormal psychological horror.
Oh my God, that's perfect.
So yeah, a lot of twists and turns happened in that movie that I was not expecting. I'd never seen anything like it before and I thought it was pretty well done. So I would recommend.
Ooh, okay. I will be noting that because those are like two of my absolute favorite genres. So
it's a bit of a mind fuck movie. So like you have to like be ready to like turn your brain on for that one.
I do love that. Well, I watched a lot of horror movies this past week.
I cannot wait to hear about it. We thought this was going to be a short episode. We didn't take into account what this intro would be because I need you to talk to me about these movies.
I will do my best to keep this concise. Guys, what essentially ended up happening this past week was I thought I knew what movie I was doing for this episode and I watched it and I was like, ooh, no. I then watched four more movies before I was able to find a film for this week. Hence why I finished my script this morning, because I watched a solid 10 hours of movies this past week.
Mm-hmm.
The one that we were going to do this week is a movie called Y2K.
Right.
And
Happy New Year.
True. Happy New Year, friends. Yeah. I actually don't even know when this episode's coming out at this point. Like, I'm so
What day is it?
Who knows? I apparently am like not in the majority on this, but I hated Y2K. With a fiery, burning passion. I didn't finish it, guys. I don't know what happens in the last half hour of the movie. It is just, like, it's that comedy aspect that I just don't vibe with.
Yeah.
And it's it's tech horror, if you didn't know. It has a pretty crazy cast in terms of, I don't actually know their names, but the guy who plays Bill in It, like young Bill.
Oh.
The girl who played Snow White recently in the live action.
No, yes,
is in it.
Rachel Zegler. She's a queen. West Side Story, Snow White.
Yes.
You know, other ones.
Sure, the other things that she's in. And then, oh, Mason Gooding is also in it from Hard Eyes. So
yeah,
it's like a, you know, there's like good people in it, but like the comedy aspect of it. Oh. Can I just tell you one part?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They end up in like a porta potty and then the porta potty rolls down a hill and then they get covered in poop. And according to Letterboxd, they're just covered in poop for the rest of the movie. And I'm like,
oh my, that's gross.
Yeah. And I'm like, I'm good. I'm all set.
I will say I'm not like a fart poop joke girl. You know what I mean?
No, same. I would be curious to get your thoughts on it if you ever watch
it. Oh, I will be watching it.
Yes.
I'm going to try to watch it by the end of the year.
Yeah. I let me know how it ends because I don't know.
I will.
So,
and I'll probably let everyone else know too because who cares?
Nobody cares. I did post a negative review on Letterboxd and people were like, what? I love this movie. And I was like, oh.
Wait, that's surprising to me because it just faded into immediate obscurity. Like there was a lot of hype around probably because of the cast. The director is also well known. So I was like, oh, I can't wait for this to come out. And then it came out and I didn't even realize it came out and then it was gone. And I was just like, wait, what happened?
Yeah. The next thing that I tried watching was a movie that probably isn't even bad. It's a movie called Terror Train from the 80s with Jamie Lee Curtis in it. And I just kind of was bored. And I just and even like maybe it's not a bad movie, but for the sake of the podcast episodes, we need to be excited about the films that we're presenting. Otherwise,
we're going to be bored telling the story.
Exactly. Yeah. So I was just like, I can't use this. And then I watched a movie that I loved and I was excited. Freaky. Which essentially, if you don't know, it's basically Freaky Friday meets horror.
That's fun.
And it's a really fun movie. It's an example of a horror comedy that I actually loved. And I'm not a horror comedy fan for the most part, but this was a great example of a really good horror comedy. And the only reason I didn't use it was because it was so heavy on the comedy and I knew I couldn't present that to you in a way that would really work because of its comedic timing and all of that. But it's a movie I recommend. It's really fun.
That's going to be on my list too.
Yes, I do. I do think you'll like that one for sure. And then the fourth one I watched, I might hold on to because I might use it.
Okay.
So
interesting.
Yes, it's one that I thought was actually be good for the podcast, but it was going to be a little bit of a complex script and I didn't have as much time.
Yep.
So I was like, all right, maybe hold off and try use this next year. So I'll let you guys know when we get to that, if we get to that.
Yeah.
But then I, of course, ended up with the movie Today, which is a movie called Shook. And it's on Shudder exclusively. And I chose it just because the premise sounded like it would work for us. And unintentionally, it's very similar to my episode from two episodes ago for me.
Oh.
It's not similar to it, but it has some similar elements to the movie Stream. But we'll get into that a little bit later. And this movie, one of the things I didn't notice until I sat down and looked at the background, it was directed and written by Jennifer Harrington. Yay, we don't know her, but she's a woman. So that's exciting.
Love to see it.
Wow. Like, honestly, I genuinely get surprised when I see women's names when I go to write it. I'm like, whoa, I forgot that this could be a woman because we're just like, so often it's men that
male
are directing
directors
writing
for horror.
These. Exactly. Yeah. So that I thought was pretty cool. It premiered directly to Shudder.
Oh.
Nowhere else was it seen. And that is literally the background of this movie.
When did it come out?
2021. You ready to go?
I'm so ready to be shook.
You will be. So our film opens up with some fun, upbeat music. And on a screen where a girly named Janelle is live, reminding her viewers to subscribe, like the video, and follow her over on Instagram for more beauty-related things. So we're getting right into the influencers, which we all know and love. I hate that technically we can be described as influencers.
Yes.
It's unfortunate, but it's true. It's true.
I'm into influencer horror, by the way. You would think that it would be offensive. It's not. It's so funny.
It's not. It's
the
amazing.
Way that influencers are like portrayed in media and horror specifically always makes me giggle because I'm like, low-key, you're ridiculous, but like, I know what you're talking. I know what you mean.
Yep,
I relate a little bit.
Yes, you're going to love this. So The flash of a camera transitions us to a red carpet where Janelle stands holding her little lap dog, posing for photos. Mm. Next to her is another influencer, Makeup by Mia, and Vedrana stands next to her. So we have three different influencers standing on this red carpet.
Okay.
The three girls pose for the paparazzi, duck faces and all.
Oh.
And an interviewer makes her way to Janelle, complimenting her on her killer shoes, LOL, which are bright blue heels.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, everyone. I'm here with Janelle, last year's beauty influencer of the year, the reporter says to the camera. Janelle is just so blessed to be here and beyond grateful for her followers. Next to her, Mia is streaming live from her cell phone to her followers. Hey guys, I'm here for the super exclusive invite-only red carpet for Sekani Cosmetics. It's at this moment that we are presented with a wide shot of this super exclusive invite-only event, and it's a singular square backdrop in a parking lot featuring only these three girls and a group of fake paparazzi,
mm-hmm.
which I think is interesting, like, because I never thought about it, but I'm sure this is a very common thing in Hollywood.
Oh, yeah.
Like, fake red carpet events.
Yeah, I assume like more than not that just everything is fake. It's like sad, right? Because like it's the way that I think of Hollywood, it's probably less fake than I picture it, because I am so like expect the worst. I don't believe anything at this point.
You know what? You're probably not wrong, because like right. I've talked about like I used to work in audience management for like yeah. shows like The Masked Singer and America's Got Talent, and like sitting there and watching the way that they record all the reactions separate from the show themselves, they'll be like everyone with their birthdays in January through like July or whatever, you're going to clap and shake your head yes. Everybody with birthdays in the latter half of the year,
oh
we want
gosh.
You to shake your head no. And like that's what they do.
So curated, everything.
Exactly. Suddenly Janelle screams because her dog peed on her.
Oh.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. It seems a little strange.
Yeah. Is like, he okay?
Yeah. Like, that doesn't seem like something a dog would do. So she, like, messily, like, excuses herself, running in heels. She clearly doesn't know how to walk in at all. She goes on down the alley and makes her way into a pretty desolate building's bathroom.
Oh.
She puts her dog down on the ground, takes off her shoes. Ew. By the way, bare feet. In a public bathroom.
No.
Disgusting. And she tries to deal with this pee that's on her pink dress.
Mm-hmm.
She like wets a paper towel and just like rubs the spot. Sure.
Okay.
That's going to do it. You do you, girl.
Yeah.
Behind her, her dog starts growling into a stall.
Oh.
And like she clocks it, but she brushes it off. She's like, okay, whatever. She then uses the hand dryer to dry her dress, but it's like at a weird angle. So she just goes ahead and takes off her dress.
Oh. Just okay
to dry it that way. And she has like one of those, like, I don't even know what they're called. It's not even a slip, maybe Spanx, I don't know. Like, she's got like a nude colored situation going on underneath. Still kind of wild that she's doing this in a public bathroom, but you know, the dog starts barking, and when Janelle turns to look, she sees a little treat come sliding out from under the stall's door.
Ew.
And of course the dog eats it. Yeah. And actually that is exactly what Janelle said. She goes, ew, don't. As she makes her way over to her dog, the dog is snatched under the stall.
No.
Hey, give me my dog, she yells into the
stall.
Oh,
I'm about to fuck this person up, 100%. You mess with my dog, I'm going to get you.
I knew this would be interesting to talk to you about.
Yeah.
Because I know how you are with dogs.
Yeah.
So the stall door bursts open and knocks into Janelle, throwing her to the ground. She, like, drags herself backward along the floor, clearly afraid of whoever is approaching her, but we don't see them.
Mm-hmm.
She goes to reach for her shoe, but the assailant grabs it first, immediately stabbing the heel up through the bottom of her jaw. Blood splatters across the bathroom, and Janelle is left laying on the floor, her blood pooling around her head, the heel stabbed through her jaw and coming out of her mouth.
Okay, that's nice. So what happened to the dog?
Right, that's an important question. We don't know right now. So back on the red carpet, Mia does a dramatic head turn in like slow-mo for the cameras as the title card pops up to a remix of Girls Just Want to Have Fun.
Okay.
The opening credits roll over an overhead shot of what appears to be a wealthy LA neighborhood. A news reporter's voice plays, telling us that the Southland dog killer has struck again. But this time the pooch got away.
Oh.
The owner, not so lucky.
Oh, whoa. That's weird.
Yeah.
Wait, how do they know it's this? What? How? Okay, maybe I should just let you tell the story. But how do they know? How do they know it's the dog killer if they didn't kill a dog? They killed a human. What if it's just a different human killer?
That's a great question.
You know?
That is a really good question, Cassie.
Okay.
Mia goes live on her account. I'm shook, she says. She tells.
Oh, God. Yeah. That's really. Oh, my God. I can't believe that's actually why this movie is called. I mean, I'm sure it has like double meanings and stuff, but I can't believe they did that. Okay.
No, I know. I was like, oh, okay. This is where we are today.
Yeah.
So she tells her audience that she won't be joining the live stream with her friends tomorrow, given the recent events. Instead, she's going to go to her sister Nicole's house to babysit her dog, Chico. I just really feel like it's necessary to be selfless during this time, she says.
Of course.
We're going to meet Mia's friends now via video messages. First up, we have Jade. She insists that Mia doesn't need to babysit the dog. Even though there's a psycho dog killer around, who cares? She needs to come to the live stream because she has the most followers and there's going to be tequila.
So Jade needs to die.
Okay.
I can't wait.
Yeah. You're going to love these people.
Yeah.
So next up we have Santi. So what you're telling me is that you love a dog more than me, your smoking hot boyfriend?
Yeah.
Not cool. No one's going to watch if you're not there. You know you have the most followers.
Oh my God.
Lastly, we have Lainey. Mia, I can buy Nicole a new dog. You've got to come. Although,
I'm going to freak out.
I know you are.
Okay.
She's like, you've got to come. Although, that said, kudos on like the selfless thing. Very on brand. Well, Mia ignores her friends anyway and goes over to Nicole's to hang out with Chico. In what appears to be her old bedroom, Mia plops on her bed and goes to turn on the light. Diana? Turn on the lights in Mia's room. So she goes to say, Alexa, I think it's kind of funny because you probably couldn't have a movie saying that the whole time, especially a movie people are watching in their homes.
Yep, yep, yep.
Because it's just going to set it off.
So it's just like a meta joke.
A little bit, mostly. Yeah, I think it's mostly a meta joke. There's like a little bit of reason behind it, but I think for the most part, it's more meta.
Love.
When the lights come up, Mia looks lovingly at the pink, blue, and white Polaroids above her bed of her so-called friends, these three friends that just sent her video messages that you immediately don't like. There's just like
crazy.
Like they're insane.
Is her reaction like understanding to them, but like, oh, I can't? Or is she just, can you tell that she's not really friends with these people, doesn't really like them that much?
I think she likes them. I think it's a little bit more leaning toward the first. Like, she kind of gets it, but she has to go take care of Chico. She, like, rolls her eyes a little bit. Like, it kind of feels like she is actually friends with them.
Yeah.
But she's like, ugh, they're so annoying.
But whatever. Still, like, the best of the worst. Like, still the worst.
Exactly. You know? Exactly. Yeah. Thank you. That's what I'm going for.
Yeah.
Mia gets a video message on her phone from her sister Nicole now. She appears to be in an airport terminal and just wanted to say hi and thank Mia for watching Chico. Firstly, thanks for watching Chico. Granted, you said you wouldn't watch Chico like 10 times and then that chick died and you realize it could make you look better or whatever. I don't know. But I'm glad you're there. I know I've been kind of hard lately. Mia gets up while we continue to hear slash see Nicole's message. It's kind of like two things playing at once. She heads into a dark room saying, Diana, turn on the lights in mom's room. The room seems pretty abandoned. Different medical equipment, canes and walkers can be seen around the room. I just think when I was taking care of mom, Nicole continues, and all her medications, different times, different schedules, I'm not trying to make you feel bad. I signed up for taking care of mom. I know, and I was happy to. She's kind of just tangenting a little bit here. But you're not off the hook, she continues, a little bit teary-eyed now. It'll be your turn to take care of me soon. She hangs up the video message with a love you.
Okay.
Mia walks around her mother's old room, taking it all in, running her hands along the bed sheets and such. Her phone buzzes, and it's a text from Nicole. Why are you in mom's room? She asks. Mia quickly looks around and spots a small webcam of sorts set upon the dresser. She flips off the camera before Nicole explains that she had the camera in there so she could keep an eye on mom, and it sends her texts when there's movement. So, a little while later, Mia sits on her laptop with Chico taking a nap by her side. She's looking through Nicole's Instagram, taking note of the posts Nicole made about their mother both while she was alive and after she passed. She moves on to Googling facts about Livingston's disease, which we learn is a progressive genetic brain disorder with no cure. A friend request from someone named Kellen pops up on her screen, and she just shakes her head at it and immediately messages Nicole to tell her that the guy across the street just tried to friend me.
Oh, that's odd.
All Nicole has to say to this is, heard his parents went to prison for kiddie porn.
What? What is that?
What is what?
Kiddie porn? Like kids or kittens?
Kids.
Oh, okay.
Oh, okay. God, he's like, what the fuck?
My mind immediately went to literal like kittens, like kitty, like kitty. Oh.
I mean,
now I'm thinking of Sully. Okay, can we move on?
Whoa. All right. Yeah, let's continue. You know, no, okay. Stop. Okay. She moves over to whatever social media platform exists in this universe. It's like very simple, fake social media platform. And she sees that Jade is live with Santi and her name is spelled L-A-N-I, but it's Lainey, and it upsets me. I want to say Lonnie.
Yeah, that's not how I wrote it down at all.
No. Jade is live with Santi and Lainey playing a drinking game. Now, one fun thing that this movie does, and I'm not going to explain it every time just because it would get repetitive, but they project a lot of the digital media onto the wall and like on the screen as if it's like in the air, like the words are in the air.
Oh, I like that.
Exactly. Yeah. It's very cool. And like one thing they do here is we get like this head-on shot of Mia sitting on the couch with her laptop in front of her, and the live stream is projected on the wall behind her.
Cool.
It's very cool. They do a lot of this kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Just know that that's happening quite a lot. So Mia sits watching this live stream, and Santi and Lainey are sitting a little too close for comfort. Jade even makes a joke about how they're touching knees.
Oh, no.
Mia looks upset but gets distracted when another friend request comes in from Kellen again. She immediately calls out to Diana to lock all the doors and turn on the lights in the living room. Are you freaked out by anything right now?
No.
No. Right?
Yeah, no. This is all chill.
This is all chill. Exactly. But she asked Diana to lock all the doors and turn on all the lights. So I guess she's spooked.
Okay.
So back on the live stream, Santi and Lainey are being very giggly together. A version of them appears silhouetted in the room with Mia making out. And it's giving that one scene in Harry Potter.
Oh my God. I know. I hate that scene.
Same. Everyone hates that scene.
Yeah.
And this is another thing that happens a lot throughout the movie that I don't bring up every time, where like versions of people show up next to her, like speaking to her, even though it's text messages, like they come up in a physical form to like say the lines instead.
Does it work?
Text. It does. It does work. It's just like really hard for me to put it in the script. So I mostly left it out. But just know like that's another thing that they do that I think is very fun.
Huh. Yeah.
So Mia shuts down the live stream and the room goes quiet. Jade texts her, begging her to come by, but of course Mia's like, I have to watch Chico.
Mm-hmm.
Nicole's going to San Fran for a clinical trial in relation to Livingston's disease. What does Jade respond with here? Oh, sucks for Nicole and your mom. At least you don't have it.
Okay.
Thank you. Thank you, Jade.
Okay. I just am trying to think about whether these people like this actually exist.
Right. They're so over the top insane, like in that way. So it is hard to like, you just have to kind of accept that they're going to say horrible things throughout this movie.
Yeah.
So anyway, Mia looks to the floor and she notices that Chico is no longer napping on the floor next to her.
Oh,
Chico?
God. Oh, my God.
She calls out, come here, buddy. Silence. So she gets up to look for him, turning on the lights via Diana as she moves through the house. Chico doesn't seem to be responding to his name anywhere. Mia's stressing because, like, she had one job, and we know that there is a dog killer on the loose.
Apparently.
Apparently, yes.
A dog killer that we've never seen kill a dog, only humans.
Well, she grabs her laptop.
Oh, no.
And she Googles information on the dog killer, and we see graphic images that I'm not going to explain to you.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Okay.
So there have been a lot of dogs killed in the area recently.
Yeah.
She continues to search the house when a phone call comes in from an unknown number. She ignores it, of course, because who actually answers calls from unknown numbers?
Right.
As she searches her own room for Chico, she hears a very distinct footstep from somewhere in the house. And I honestly want to say it was very effective, in my opinion, because it sounds like an actual footstep, where I feel like sometimes people in horror films are like, I heard a footstep. And I'm like, that was like not a footstep.
Yeah. Or it's too dramatic. Was it subtle? Also, it's weird that you're saying footstep singular.
Yes. It was like, you know, the sound of like weight moving on a floorboard that's kind of creaky.
Yes.
That's exactly what it is. And it's pretty quiet, like so much so that the second time I watched it, I like didn't even realize it was there. But wow, it's a pretty effective sound. I actually really liked it.
Mm-hmm.
So Mia, she slowly tiptoes downstairs because she wants to investigate.
Mm-hmm.
But she's met with silence. She tries to call Jade, gets no answer. So she's able to get in touch with Santi through text, but all he has to say on the matter is, that dog is toast. And when Mia's like, that's not funny, he goes, bae, it's just a dog.
What? I'm so confused by these people because it's like, we're not even playing up the influencer personality.
They're just horrible.
That's what I expect. They're just horrible. Like, why do you think that I just can't, I want everyone to die.
I wrote, so in case you haven't picked up on it yet, her friends suck.
Really?
Do they? Mia picks up Chico's bag of dog food now, and she's like walking around the house, shaking the bag, calling his name. And she gets yet another call from an unknown number. This time she picks up. Who is this? She asks. Oh, sorry, this is Kellen, a man on the other end answers. I live across the street. Mia's like, well, how'd you get my number? Mm-hmm. But Kellen defends this by saying that he got it from her sister for emergencies. Anyway, he's calling because he can't seem to find his dog Rascal and was wondering if Mia saw anything.
Mm-hmm.
She says she hasn't, and she opts not to tell Kellen about the fact that Chico is also missing at the moment. A little chit-chat between the two ensues where we learn that Mia isn't around much anymore because she's been at school. Kellen then asks, how's Jade? Mia's confused. I can't believe she got that tattoo, he continues. You know they call it a tramp stamp, right? Mia's like, whoa, what? How do you know about that? And Kellen's like, well, we're friends online and she posts a lot of pictures, which I would believe.
Yeah.
Mia's just had enough of this conversation though, so she tells Kellen that she's gotta go, and Kellen reminds her to keep an eye out for Rascal. As Mia walks into the kitchen, she notices that the back sliding glass door is open about a foot.
Ew.
Yep. She heads over to the door, opening it and heading into the backyard and calling for Chico. Now, if I'm not mistaken, and I don't think I am, Mia interacted with this door like 5 minutes ago and it was closed and locked.
Okay.
But she either doesn't remember or just doesn't care.
Oh, weird. Yeah, that she's not acting scared about that.
No.
She's just like, oh, he must have got out.
Like, she's like a little bit on edge, but she just like, I would not, if I saw that and knew it had been closed 5 minutes earlier, I'm not going for it.
Right.
She's definitely scared, but she's a little too calm for my liking in this moment.
Sure. Yeah.
So while Mia's scanning the backyard for Chico, we see the shadow of a man move through the kitchen behind her, but she doesn't hear or see anything. Suddenly, I love this.
Oh.
Suddenly, a rustling sound comes from somewhere in the backyard.
Okay.
Tell me why she gets spooked and immediately runs back inside when we know for a fact that she was looking for a dog.
Yeah, you'd be like, oh, Chico, there you are.
Right.
Okay, so basically what I'm hearing is I've heard enough and we're both 100%ing this movie.
We might be pretty damn close. Once inside, Mia tries to lock the sliding glass door, but what's this? The lock is broken. Weird, but that's fine, I guess. A loud, distinct clattering sound comes from somewhere in the house. Like, this is not like something fell. This is a loud-ass clattering sound that would scare the living hell out of me if I heard it in my house.
Yeah.
Mia once again calls for Chico and walks toward the source of the noise. There's nothing there. Another clatter. Following that sound.
Santa!
Nothing. A clatter.
A clatter.
Oh, my God. No, wait. The subtitle literally said clatter. I didn't even put this together. Oh, my God.
I've actually never heard that phrase outside of the Santa story.
Right?
What is that? The Night Before Christmas.
Yes. Yeah. I can't even think of the line, but you're so right. It's definitely in that.
Something definitely went to clatter.
It sure did.
So, yeah, maybe it's Santa.
Wow. And we thought Christmas was over. That's so crazy.
Never.
So, girly, she, like, seems like she's chasing ghosts because she hears a sound. She goes, there's nothing there.
Yeah.
Her cell phone buzzes. It's Kellen again. She cuts to it. What do you want? She asks. He's like, oh, well, I heard you calling for Chico. Is he lost too? I don't care if that's my neighbor across the street. That's going to send chills down my spine. Because how can you hear me calling for Chico? I don't like that.
Like, yeah. Also, the what is his delivery like? Like, is he like sounding concerned or is he kind of dry?
He's like, honestly, he sounds kind of chipper. Like, he's very like confident, clear, and like not like overly creepy, happy, but he's like, he's just acting like this is a very normal thing right now.
Okay. Yeah. He's weirding me out.
He should be, but he's also like, I guess he's acting normal enough, but I would be weirded out.
Yeah. Same.
Mia's like, yeah, whatever. He's probably hiding under the bed, Kellen responds.
What the fuck? What are you talking about? Like, I can't believe – and I mean, none of these characters are real, but I can't believe they're not even fictional. Like, there has to be, like, real people, fictional people, and then there's a step below that that these people are.
Yes. To be fair, Mia, looks up quick and is like, what did you just say?
Good, good. She's bursted out of the matrix that is this movie.
But Kellen's like, oh, Nicole says he hides under the bed sometimes when he's scared.
Oh.
Mia's definitely skeptical at this.
Yes.
She's like, I didn't realize you and my sister talk so much.
Yeah.
Kellen's like, oh, you know, just in passing. And while she's on the phone, she gets more texts from her friends. Jade is like, girl, if you don't get over here, Lainey's going to steal your man. At this, Kellen says clear as day, Lainey is such a slut. What did you just say? Mia asks.
What the fuck?
And then Kellen just moves on. He's like, is he there under the bed?
What's happening?
Wait, it works. It works. Mia walks into Nicole's room, but she goes, no, what did you say before that?
Right.
Hold on, Kellen says before going quiet. Mia puts her phone down and asks Diana to turn on the lights. She does. Mia gets down on the floor to look under the bed. The lights shut off. Diana, turn on the lights, she says again. But Diana doesn't listen.
Hmm.
So Mia blindly reaches under the bed in the dark.
Never. Never. Do that.
Right?
Never. Wait, what? Why does she not have use her flashlight on her phone?
I don't know.
She's an influencer. I know, right? She knows about the flashlight.
She should. She probably should. So she's calling for Chico, reaching her hand under the bed. And then her hand hits something wet.
Ew.
And she pulls it back.
Oh, it's blood.
But the room's dark, so she has to walk over to the doorway and, like, physically turn the light switch.
Uh-huh.
As the light comes up, Mia screams as she notices the bright red blood covering her hand.
Uh-huh.
Suddenly, the sound of barking comes through the cell phone. She picks up and asks Kellen what that sound was because she thought she heard a dog, but wasn't his dog missing?
Yeah.
Oh, I just found him a few seconds ago, he says.
Oh, how convenient. Mm.
Why did you tell me to look under Nicole's bed? She asks now. I told you, he says. But Mia interrupts him. Stop lying. What's going on? She demands.
Okay, yeah.
I've got your fucking dog, bitch.
Oh my God!
And this is score check one.
What the fuck? What is happening? I am 100%. I'm so mad that I don't even know if I can bring myself to a 99.
That's fair. I think that's fair because nothing's even happened yet.
Yeah. Well, that one girl in the bathroom.
I think this is a film where, based on the way it works out, we should stick with Mia.
Okay. Okay. Good. Okay. We are Mia. I will say, even with the girl in the bathroom, I'm 100 because, like, I can just make the easy argument of I wouldn't be at that event.
Mm.
Like, and I wouldn't go into a sketchy, you described it as like a desolate building.
In an alleyway
to get to a bathroom. Like, I wouldn't go there. So 100% even with that.
Right. And the funny thing, like, this is just like a side detail that I noticed when I was writing the script. It's like a sketchy ass alleyway and the door is like old and gross. But then she gets into the bathroom and it's like this perfect, pristine, nice bathroom. And I'm like, there's no fucking way that's the bathroom that's in that alleyway. But sure, whatever.
Sure.
But yeah, no, I think 100% is honestly valid in this particular scenario.
And I do hope to be able to talk my way into it for every act.
You might be able to. We'll see.
Okay. Is that what you gave yourself?
Yes.
100? Okay, perf. Okay. Yes.
So It's like dun dun dun, dramatic music kicks in after that line because oh shit.
It's such a, why is that such a funny line? It's took your dog, bitch.
I was like, this is definitely where I'm putting score check one. Like, this is prime spot for the score check.
Yeah.
So Mia makes a run for it down the stairs, calling 911 in the process. Now, this is something we've been encountering a lot lately. Like, the line is busy for whatever reason. Mm-hmm. And there's the message, your call will be answered as soon as possible. Just, like, keeps playing over and over and over.
Yeah.
She looks out the glass of the front door as a text from Kellen comes through. Hang up, it says. Mia doesn't as she backs into another room.
Yeah.
I told you to hang up, another text reads.
She better not.
So Mia quickly sends a text to Jade telling her to call the police.
Oh, because she's smart. In trouble.
That is pretty smart, right? Yeah. Kellen texts again. If you don't hang up, your friends will die.
Okay, I don't like them that much anyway.
Right? Right? The 911 operator does finally pick up, but Mia doesn't respond as more texts come in from Kellen. He follows up this threat, like, of, you know, don't hang up, your friends die, with photos of Lainey, Santi, and Jade all looking distressed.
Oh.
Like, crying and stuff. And this was actually an interesting spot for a conversation that I wanted to bring up based on something I saw on Instagram the other day. And I want to talk about it, one, because it's interesting, and two, because I genuinely think we need to be talking more about this. There is, I don't know if it's truly happening or if it's just kind of the concept of this could be a very real and scary thing. An AI scam of people being, you know, generated into images, like tied up in the back of a van crying.
What the hell?
Sending that to loved ones, asking for ransom money.
Whoa, I've not seen this.
I saw a post about this and I don't know if it's happened, but I was like, holy shit, that could happen.
Yeah, easy.
Because it would look to, especially to maybe an older person, it's going to look legitimate.
Yeah.
And I was like, whoa. That's horrifying. So, like, I don't expect this is going to happen to anybody, but make sure you text people and, like, get in touch with them if you think you see them in a freaking kidnapping situation, because nowadays you just don't know.
You can't, you can't make an assumption off of what feels like evidence. Like, you need to actually hear from the person.
Right.
That's crazy.
Watching this movie and like seeing those images, I was like, it just brought me back to seeing that post where I was like, oh my God, you could totally fake this nowadays with AI imaging, which is so crazy.
It's like, you don't even have to get like, be like this super, super savvy person to achieve an AI image like that.
Yeah. I thought that was insane. Kellen texts her and says, just say you made a mistake. So that's what she says to the 911 operator before she hangs up. Would you do that?
No, I don't care. I don't care.
I feel like, here's the thing. Here's the thing. I was thinking about this. We don't care about these friends, but she does, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So this makes it difficult. Because, like, from our perspective, we don't give a shit if they die.
Mm-hmm.
But from her perspective, these are her best friends. So it's like, what do we do here? Do we imagine these are our best friends? I feel like we almost have to.
Yeah. I wish that there was like an easier 911 messaging system.
Right.
But yeah, I would probably text my mom, like text someone who's not in the, like someone trusted who's not in the image, and like give them the info and the address and the name. Like,
right.
This comes kind of back to what we talked about in P2, where she was on the phone with her family and he was like,
oh, yeah, yeah,
hang up. That's different because, like, you're risking your own life, not the life of others, which I feel better about.
True, true, true.
But I would, like, want to call that bluff because it's like, if I give them your information right now, what are you going to do about it? You're screwed. Like, are you going to kill all these people and keep, like, racking up your prison sentence? Like, why would you kill them after I get your name and location and what you're doing out there?
Fair.
But that's just a risk your game to play. When it's not you, it's other people.
Sure.
So I guess I would not, I would play along, but I would just text someone like my mom and be like, this is happening. Call the police. This is the info.
So it's like, that is interesting because she does text Jade.
Yeah.
But he just says you're friends. So now it's like, oh, so maybe he has them.
Yeah. And so then in her case, I would text, a family
someone
member.
Someone else. Exactly. Yeah. So as Mia hangs up her 911 call, the lights go out in the living room And Diana seems to not be listening to Mia's request to turn them back on.
Mm-hmm.
Mia hears bumps from somewhere inside the house and takes off running out the front door, ignoring yet another call from unknown.
Mm-hmm.
As she gets closer to her car, a text comes in. "Looking for your keys?" it asks.
Ugh.
Well, yes.
Yeah.
Jade calls Mia and Mia answers.
Mm-hmm.
On the other side, Jade is crying. And through her sobs, she says, "He says if you leave, scream for the neighbors. If you call anyone, he'll kill me."
Yeah.
Kind of like that's just what you would expect in this situation, trying to cut off any opportunity for the main person to do anything.
But she's got to have family to text. I would text the most random person in my contact list.
Yeah, like, right.
Someone I talked to once in college that I got their number for some reason, I would believe that wouldn't be the best case scenario. But
yeah, right.
I would text someone to get this out there. Like having our phone right now is such an advantage.
Yep. As Kellen calls again, Mia hears a bark from the front door of her own home.
Oh.
She turns to look and sees Chico standing in the open doorway. But someone is clearly holding the leash, like in the hall. Like the leash is pulled taut.
Yeah.
But we can't see them.
Mm-hmm.
Mia asks everyone's favorite question. Why are you doing this? Period.
Yeah.
Kellen responds with, "What were you supposed to do tonight?" Mia's confused. "What is the one thing your sister asked you to do?" Kellen continues. "Take care of the dog," Mia responds. Mm-hmm. "It's an important thing, you know, to be a caretaker." Kellen shames Mia for not watching Chico closely enough.
Oh my God.
Chico cries from the doorway. Kellen informs Mia that he is about to present her with a choice. A video message comes in, and it's a video of Jade crying. He says you have to choose Lainey or Chico.
Oh my God.
And I thought this would be a great question to ask Cassie because I think I know who Cassie's choosing.
I feel really bad about it because I think I would choose my dog over any of my friends.
Yeah.
Because I would hope that my friends can somehow defend themselves. Like the defense ratio, like a dog is just so helpless.
Yeah.
And like I'm hoping a friend, they can pull something out of, you know, like they can manage, they can figure it out. But a dog doesn't know what's going on. They can't figure it out.
Right.
Oh, that's awful though.
Right.
I actually don't know 100% either. That's such a like a complicated thing that like I don't know if I could choose, like genuinely. I might get them both killed because I might just not be able to make that decision. Right.
So Lainey screams from somewhere on Jade's side of the phone. "This is crazy," Mia says. "Can't argue with that," Kellen responds smugly. But he urges her to choose. "Your sick sister's dog or the girl trying to sleep with your boyfriend," he posits.
Oh.
So clearly Kellen has an opinion on the matter.
Yeah. Oh. What was that?
That was my yogurt.
Oh, but not again. Did you not just spill yogurt on your carpet the other day?
Literally like yesterday.
Caitlin needs a new, Caitlin for Christmas needs a new rug.
Yeah, clearly. Jesus. We'll worry about that later. So Mia pleads with Kellen, but her time is up. One of the girls on the other side begs Mia to answer him. He has a knife. He's going to kill them. An intense scream rings out as Mia shouts, "Lainey, I pick Lainey."
Wow.
The line goes silent as Chico is dragged back into the house by his leash. So you don't know. I feel like I would pick Lainey, but like I don't think it would be as hard a decision for me. But I understand.
Mm-hmm. Well, the thing is also, who knows? Maybe this guy's obviously crazy. What if you pick Chico so they kill Lainey instead?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
You know, like it's like, playing this game, there's just no way to secure anyone's safety.
Oh, absolutely not.
In reality, yeah.
You're so right. So Mia stays sobbing on the sidewalk. "All right, back inside," Kellen says. "The sooner you go inside, the sooner this will all be over." Mia is just at a loss, so she just stays where she is, sat on the pavement.
Mm-hmm.
"Oh, I see. You're scared. Seems like you need some extra encouragement," Kellen taunts before sending another video Mia's way. Mm-hmm. This video features Nicole now.
Okay.
It's yet another close-up, like, of Nicole crying in distress in the same way that her friends were. Mia's like, no, that's impossible.
Yeah, didn't she just talk to her?
Well, she says she's on a plane right now because she last...
Am I imagining that they talked, like, literally in the living room, or was she just talking about Nicole to someone? I know she's on a plane, like, heading off, but...
I know... Well, she got a video message from Nicole. I don't know if they... I don't think they...
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Okay.
So it works timeline-wise.
Yes. Yeah, the timeline does work, except for the fact that she's supposed to be on a plane.
Right.
And so Mia's thrown about that. Kellen's like, I don't think so. Come inside, Mia. I think you know what will happen if you don't.
Mm.
So you're sitting out on the sidewalk. He's now sent you a video of your sister. You're going inside.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. I'm going inside. But we still have our phone and we still aren't texting anyone. I mean, now he has your sister. Who knows if he has your other family members? I mean, I don't foresee him having her parents. It's like, can I text my parents, you know?
Yeah.
Can I post on social media?
Well, this is actually interesting because obviously her mother has passed, but I don't know if there's ever a mention of the father in the movie.
Oh,
which is really interesting now that I think about it. Mm-hmm. There might be, and I'm just missing it.
Okay.
So Mia gathers herself and her strength, and she heads back into the house. In the entryway is, well, a lot of blood. Mm. Kellen calls Mia back, asking her if she's ready to get started. Well, Kellen's going to continue on with his little game of sorts. We both know you have a big choice coming up, but what if there was a way for you to not have to make that choice at all? Yes, she responds softly. Mm-hmm. That's what I thought. So what is Kellen's offer? Well, all she has to do is answer three questions. It's giving a little bit of scream right now.
Okay.
If she gets all three right, the whole thing ends. If she gets them wrong, she has to choose between Nicole and Santi, so her boyfriend and her sister.
Oh, easy choice. Mm-hmm. Bye, boyfriend. Mm-hmm. So sorry to my boyfriend. Okay, that's awkward. We'll talk about that later.
Bye. So, of course, she takes this offer because she knows she has to choose either way. All right, here we go. Question one.
I'm so ready.
When administering CPR, maintaining proper rhythm is crucial. What song is recommended for keeping the correct tempo?
Staying Alive.
I'm glad you know that, but she doesn't. I also knew that. I'm pretty sure everyone fucking knows this, but she doesn't know the answer to this, right?
Oh.
But she has 60 seconds to give him an answer.
Okay.
She tries to open the internet on her phone, but now the cell service isn't working, which don't ask me how that makes sense when he's on the phone with her, but like her cell service isn't working.
Okay.
Just let that one go.
Yeah.
So she heads over to her laptop. The Wi-Fi still works, so yay for that. Mm-hmm. As she begins to type in her Google search, she receives a video of Santi tied to a chair, plastic over his head, accompanied by a text that says, CPR may be useful. Santi begs for Mia to help him. She gets back to speed Googling, but she's struggling. I don't see a song, she screams. Here you are cheating and complaining about it, Kellen says. Tisk, tisk. With 7 seconds left on the clock, Mia finds the answer, screaming, Staying Alive by the Bee Gees.
Okay.
Ding, 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 Kellen says. Get that girl a toaster. He heads straight into the next question, though. But this time, she's not allowed to cheat.
Oh.
So question two. At what temperature is someone considered to have a fever?
Oh, I thought it was 99.1.
Okay.
But I don't know for sure.
I had no idea, I'll be honest. What the answer to this one was. Mia once again reaches for the laptop, but Kellen's like, no cheating, can't use the internet.
Uh-oh, this is it.
He sends her a video of Jade, her arm being held over an open flame as she screams in pain. It's getting hot in here, Kellen texts. Mia stands there before she appears to have a light bulb moment, and she runs out of the room. She goes into her mother's room and starts rifling through her pill bottles and other forms of medication. She comes across a drawer full of papers, and they look like those little sheets that come with, like, medicines that are folded, like, 20 times.
Yep.
And she starts, like, skimming them really quickly. With 3 seconds left on the clock, she finds the answer. 100.4, she yells.
Wow.
I don't think I would think to do that. I think I would be too panicked. Like, my brain would not go there.
Even if I thought to do that, I feel like my eyes wouldn't be reading what's on the page. Mm-hmm. Like, I wouldn't be able to focus and find that answer, even if I thought to try to find the answer.
Right. Like, I think of even, like, playing games or, like, doing a speed quiz, my brain shuts off. Now, imagine somebody's life is, like, on the line. I'm probably going to be useless.
Right. No, catch me playing Detroit Become Human and I don't even see the choices on the screen. Yep. I'm just like, where am I? Yep. I don't know.
Fair. So that's correct. And it's time for the third and final question.
Mm-hmm.
Question number 3. What were your mother's last words?
Oh.
Mia takes a beat, taking in the question she was just asked. How would you know what my mother's last words were, she asks.
I killed your mom, bitch.
I wish that was the next line. That would be amazing. Kellen doesn't reply. He just starts counting down.
Oh.
The next video message comes through now. It's Lainey this time. Kellen has her tongue pulled from her mouth with one hand holding a knife over the center of her tongue with the other. The accompanying text reads, I wonder what Lainey's last words would be. Why are you asking about my mother?
Mm-hmm.
I liked your mom, Kellen replies. Mia says that she doesn't recall her ever speaking about Kellen.
Mm-hmm.
Well, she didn't speak much of you either, he responds.
Oh, okay.
Oops. Go to hell, Mia says scornfully. But Kellen's going to keep it up. She probably forgot you even existed. I mean, how often did you come by to visit when she was getting sick?
Oof.
And I don't mean how often you promised to visit, because that's obviously a much different answer. Mia demands to know, who told you what my mother's last words were?
Mm-hmm.
How do you know I wasn't there? Mm-hmm. Kellen asks. Mia's like, no, Nicole would have told me if you were there. Did she tell you what your mother's last words were? No. Why weren't you there, Mia? Mia has tears in her eyes. I had school, she cries. Didn't Nicole tell you that she only had a few hours left? 14, 13, 12, Kellen continues. Mia just screams into the phone that this isn't fair as the timer reaches 0. Please don't hurt her. Hurt who? It's time for another choice. Lainey or Nicole? Mia's like, this isn't fair. You don't know the answer. I do know the answer, Kellen says, and you do too.
What?
Mia looks confused. She's like, what do you mean? Kellen pauses for a moment before replying. Your mom had a breathing tube for the last 2 weeks of her life. She couldn't say anything. Mia just breaks down as Kellen pushes forward. Who's it going to be, Mia? You have 1 minute.
Is he trying to say that it was a trick question because she didn't say anything?
Yes.
But she did.
Technically, 2 weeks before that, she would have.
Right. Like, there are technically everyone has last words.
Right. I think.
So I call technicality.
Right. Exactly. I think technically this is wrong, but yeah. He doesn't actually care about the answer. It's more about the point. So it's
Now it's like, obviously, he's just, there's no way to win this game.
Right.
You know?
Right. That's his whole point all along. So
yeah.
But I had the same thought. I was like, well, technically, she would have said something. Like, same mindset. So for Mia, it's going to be either her sister Nicole versus Lonnie. Is that right?
At one point, it was Lainey versus Santi.
Yeah, what the fuck happened to that?
Yeah, because then I was like, oh, I'd obviously choose my sister over my boyfriend.
Yeah, and I think that was the initial choice, but now somehow it's switched back to Lonnie.
Oh.
Don't ask me how.
Okay.
So as Kellen counts down, Mia receives a video now of Lainey, blood covering the lower half of her jaw, like her face. It mm-hmm. seems like Kellen already cut her tongue, regardless of who she picks.
Oh, right. Okay.
She also looks again at the video of Nicole crying. Mia tries to plead with Kellen. What do you want? Please stop this. I can't choose.
Mm-hmm.
As Kellen reaches the final 3 seconds of his countdown, Mia sends herself into full panic mode. I don't know, she screams. Nicole's sick. Lainey, I pick Lainey.
Wow.
Crazy, right?
That is insane.
I know, she's like...
Her sister around the same age?
I think her sister's a little bit older.
Okay, wow.
Probably a good 5 years older or so.
Yeah.
The phone call just ends, and Mia falls to her knees sobbing, burying her face into her mother's bed.
Mm-hmm.
Her phone buzzes again and she reaches for it, just completely defeated at this point. But when she looks at the screen, she kind of perks up for a second because she's getting a video call from Lainey now. She immediately picks it up. "Dude, you just got your sister killed," laughs Lainey on the other end.
Wait, what? Mm-hmm. I thought that was going to be him talking. And then you go, laughs Lainey
on the other end.
"What?
I don't understand," Mia says. Lainey keeps laughing. "I know," she says. Mia is beyond angry and needs to know right now what's going on. "It's okay. Everyone's okay," Lainey says. "It was all fake. We were just fucking with you. I'm in your attic right now." Lainey taps her foot on the floor and Mia can hear it from where she stands. "Where is Nicole?" Mia asks. Lainey's like, "Oh, I don't know. Probably in San Fran by now." Mia, like, doesn't understand.
Yeah.
Lainey explains that the videos of Nicole were from after her mom's funeral. LOL, teehee.
What?
She had videos of
her just crying.
Crying at the funeral.
I feel like, okay, I would recognize the space and the outfit and stuff. So you wouldn't.
You wouldn't because it was so close up and it was against a white wall.
Oh, okay. They've got to zoom in.
To be fair, I think they actually do pull this off well, but we'll get more into that in a little bit.
This is crazy. Are they like streaming this or something?
Well.
Oh my God.
Because that wasn't Kellen. That was a voice changer app. By the way, this is absolutely a man's voice. This is not a modified voice. This is just a man. You. Like, yeah. You never could have known that it was a voice changer. You know what I mean?
Okay.
And it was also a fake phone number. It was such a hilarious prank, really. It's just a prank, Han. I don't know if anybody's going to get that reference, but we'll move on. So, Lainey invites Santi and Jade into the video call now. They're in the house that's for sale next door, but have been jumping back and forth between the balconies because they're close enough together to like mess with her. Oh, and the live stream, they pre-recorded all of that last night, the live stream that she had been watching earlier. And Lainey's so proud of their work. Oh my God. She's so proud of this. And Mia's like, "Okay, why? You have a lot of followers," Lainey says. And Mia's like, "What?" Well, Lainey live streamed the whole thing. Mm-hmm. Mia looks to Santi and Jade like, "Why would you go along with this?" And the two of them actually do seem a bit regretful, but like Lainey's very much controlling this conversation.
Okay.
Mia is understandably pissed, so she hangs up on them.
Yeah.
She sits on the floor and tries to compose herself, taking multiple deep breaths. As she heads back downstairs, she gets a text from Jade saying that they're coming over, and of course Mia just ignores it. Mm-hmm. She goes over to her laptop and scrolls through Lainey's posts from the night. Lainey had been posting the whole time, joking about how Mia had no idea what was going on. She's got like a video like joking about the fake blood that she's using, like all of this stuff. She also finds the video Lainey used of Nicole crying after scrolling deep into Lainey's Insta feed. She was standing like in the house, like taking a selfie video like of her makeup and stuff while Nicole was in the background, like crying against a wall.
Oh my God.
And she went back and used that video, which is diabolical. But, you know, that is not even the point right now. So Mia decides like she needs to call Nicole and she tries to call her cell, but it's off. So she finds the information for the hotel that she knows Nicole is staying at in San Fran. Mia asks the front desk if she can be transferred over to someone staying there, her sister, and they forward her over to Nicole. Of course, Nicole immediately is like, "Oh, is everything okay?" Mia just wants to know if Nicole made it to San Fran okay. Mm-hmm. She seems relieved to hear Nicole's voice. Mm-hmm. Nicole clearly senses something is off and asks again if everything is okay. Mia sighs before saying, "I'm sorry." She apologizes for not being here when she should have been. Nicole's like, "Do you mean that? Because I wish I could believe you."
Oh, yeah.
This isn't the first time Mia has apologized before just going back to her old ways, regardless. Right. Nicole moves on, asking about Chico. "He's fine," Mia says, suddenly realizing that she actually hasn't seen Chico since the prank. She starts walking through the house looking for him. When Nicole asks what Chico's doing, Mia tells her that he's sleeping on the couch with her right now. Nicole's like, "Oh, could you send me a pic?"
Of course.
Mia promises that she will as soon as they hang up. "Oh, by the way," Mia says, your phone is off." Nicole's like, "Oh, yeah. I was getting a lot of texts from the camera in mom's room." Mia freezes. "So tell me, is it just Jade, Santi, and Lainey, or are there more people?" So clearly Nicole thinks Mia's throwing a party or something because she's been seeing all these people walking through.
Right.
Nicole tells Mia that she needs to get to sleep and ends the call. Mia screams for Lainey, who had said she was in the attic. "Where's Chico?" she asked angrily. Suddenly, a video call from Lainey comes in. She's crying. "Mia, get out of the house," she whispers. Mia's over this. "Stop," she tells Lainey. "Where is Chico?" Lainey just tells her repeatedly to get out before a knife slashes her across the neck. "Assholes," Mia screams before hanging up.
Oh my God. Wait, yeah. Okay. So that's, who was that? Lainey. Lainey just got slashed.
Mm-hmm.
And it looked like she was still like in the attic.
Yep.
Yeah.
Do you think, I mean, at this point, you're probably in Mia's shoes, that they're just continuing on with their prank, or do you think something happened?
Okay. So it's hard because in her shoes with those people, I would think that they were just trying to continue the prank.
I entirely agree with you.
It's hard because, like, I just don't have friends who would do this. And
right.
I also know my friends so well that I feel like I could read a shift in their energy and know when they were being for real and when they were trying to pull a prank. Like, I feel like I could just tell. But I feel like I can't – I have to put myself in Mia's shoes and just accept that these are my friends right now.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think that I would think it was just a joke still.
Right. Right. Now Santi calls. Santi. Oh, God. These people
Santa
have
Santi Claus.
Dude, because they both end in I, Lainey and Santi. Oh, it's Lainey and Santi. So I keep mixing up the vowel sounds.
Yeah.
Between the two of them. And it's driving me insane.
Yeah.
So now Santi calls. And before he can get a word in, she just goes off on him, understandably. Santi's like, "Mia, listen. It was all Lainey. We didn't want to do it," but Mia hangs up the call.
Yep.
She still doesn't have her car keys, so she opens up her Uber-esque app and calls for a ride. Mm-hmm. Big Mike will be there in 25 minutes, the app says.
Oh, that's a long time.
Fucking suburbs, Mia mutters, which, that is kind of the reality.
Yeah.
Jade texts her now, telling her that something is actually wrong. The whole thing was a prank, but whatever just happened with Lainey was not part of it. Mia just shakes her head as a loud splash comes from outside. She slowly makes her way to the backyard. Turning on the pool light, Mia can see Lainey's body floating face down on the surface of the water.
Yeah.
"It's not funny anymore," she yells. But as she gets closer, she can see blood. She turns over Lainey's body to see that, yes, she is in fact dead, a knife having sliced her throat.
Mm-hmm.
Mia screams and runs back inside. And this is score check 2.
Okay, so I'm still 100.
Yeah.
Even, again, same thing as the first one where I know we're just putting ourselves in Mia's shoes here. So that's why we're 100.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But even with Lainey's death, well, I just would never be doing those things. So I wouldn't, you know, be dead right now. I wouldn't be Lainey.
Yeah. Fair enough. It's pretty, considering that Mia hasn't been attacked.
Yep.
Also, I'm with you in 100.
Perfect. Okay, one more to go. We can do it. I can do it.
You got this. You got this. A text comes in, this time in a group chat. The unknown number sends a message saying, "Round 3. All the lights shut off in the house. The unknown person says the rules remain the same. If Mia calls anyone, informs anyone, asks for help in any way, someone will die.
How will they know, though?
That's the thing is, they have seemed like every move she's made, they seem to know about.
Even on screen, like not just the fact that she's doing something on a device, you think that they are seeing what she is doing, like sees the screen of the device somehow.
All right, give me 1 second. Like, let me read 3 more lines.
Oh, I see.
She's looking at me like, what?
I was like, okay, I'll give you a second to think about that. go ahead and think about that. Okay, what am I about to find out?
Remember, this is a group chat. So we have Jade, Santi, unknown number, and Mia all in the same group chat.
Yes.
So Santi's like, who is this? Well, it's Kellen. Duh. He's been watching this whole time. Seems he now has control of Santi and Jade and is ready for some more games with Mia. Kellen texts that Mia is going to have to choose between Santi and Jade and her favorite person, which is, of course, herself.
Okay.
Mia grabs a knife from the kitchen drawer. She's ready to go. but Kellen tells her to put it down. She looks into the corner of the kitchen and sees a camera. So she does. She puts the knife back in the drawer. So Kellen has eyes in the house.
I would destroy the camera.
Okay. Do you think...
like, then what's he going to do?
Okay, but kill them, right?
I don't think so, because I think he wants to play this game. He wants it to be a game. Well, like, that's it doesn't true. Feel as good for him to, like, just kill them randomly. He wants to do it in, like, this showy way.
That's true. I don't know. I think I would be scared that I would get my friends killed because of how strict he's been about don't contact anyone, don't do this, don't do that. I think I would just be too scared because I don't know what he knows. I mean, that's fair. Like, if that's your route, I would be too scared.
If, like, my sister – the way I'm, like, so ride or die, by the way, for my sisters here in this episode is because they're, like – my I'm thinking of my, like, literal 16-year-old sister. Sure. Like, she's a child. And so I think I would be more nervous if it was, like, a child – or even like a dog, like someone who is like not an adult who can fight their own fight.
Sure.
To some better capacity. If I knew that they had my sister, I would be more inclined to not ruin their game and piss them off. But I think if they had like people, like adults, people my age, I would just be like, because I'm telling you, I think it would be so stupid of him to kill them. I could destroy the camera, contact the police, and is he going to risk killing them when the police are on their way? And I know what you've done. And like, and it's been on camera. I don't know. I just think I think it's likely he wouldn't kill them if I did that. And I might risk it if it was like adult people who can fight their own fight. And hopefully I can get help to you guys now. Help is on the way.
Okay. So that's an interesting little plot point for yourself to consider from here on out.
Yeah.
So Kellen tells Mia to go into the living room. Creeping into the living room, Mia finds a small chest. Opening it reveals that it contains 10 identical syringes. Kellen texts, "Inject yourself with all of them or Santi dies."
No. That's when I would destroy the camera. Like if I was considering it and I wasn't sure when I'm given that, because I'm just going to completely be of no help to them, or they're going to die. Like they're going to die. I think I would just, I would destroy the camera and just call the cops and stop letting him play this game.
Okay. So you're opting out of the game here and now. Interesting. The way I looked at it, I honestly, for whatever reason, I like just was like, there's definitely nothing harmful in those syringes. Like that's just the way that I looked at it. So I think I would do it because I would think that his goal, like kind of in the same way that you're talking about with the game, like I feel like his goal is not to kill me right now.
Okay.
And so I feel like I would. I don't know that that's the right choice, obviously, like in general, but.
They are filled with something though.
There is definitely liquid in them.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Mia asks him like what's in them, but Kellen tells her that she's going to have to find that out for herself.
Mm-hmm.
She quickly texts Santi to see like if she can get in touch with him. And Santi tells her that he's in her bedroom right now, but he can hear somebody. A loud thud comes from upstairs and it continues, sounds like a bit of a struggle. "Your time starts now," Kellen texts, as he then starts counting down 60 seconds, one text at a time. Mia stares at the box of syringes before picking one up. She contemplates before hesitantly trying to stick herself with the first needle. She struggles, but eventually does get it in her forearm. It took her 20 seconds to get the first one done, and she still has so many to go.
No, I bet it's possible to somehow fake it and make it look like you are injecting yourself.
That's actually a good point.
You know,
I don't know
just
if they
put
would
it on the
on
surface
it?
And, you know, yeah, maybe they might, but they might not.
Yeah, no, I didn't even think of that.
Mm-hmm.
So she picks up the pace, shoving one needle after another into her arms and legs and crying as she goes. And as the timer lessens, she grabs like four at once and stabs them all into her thigh and does them like all together. And she's at the final syringe now, but the needle is bent and breaks off.
Into her body.
No, not even. Oh. It like before she could even insert it. So like in my opinion, this is bullshit. You gave me a faulty needle. Like that's not my fault. I was clearly about to do it.
Yeah.
But like Mia just throws the needle to the side and runs upstairs calling for Santi. And she gets to her bedroom door, but it's locked. So she grabs a pole from her mother's room and breaks down the door. Inside, she finds Santi dead on the floor.
What? Wait, so they killed him because she didn't do the last needle and they know it?
I think so. Here's the thing here is either she killed him anyway ahead of time or it was the syringe.
Yeah.
Because like there was a scuffle.
I'm just curious because I feel like if they were going to kill them anyway, I would feel good about just stopping the game and calling the cops because it's like nothing I do is going to actually help playing this game. But if they did it because of that stupid syringe thing, that's dumb. And maybe they would have been mad enough to just kill if I destroyed the cam.
Exactly. Right. So Mia lets out a scream of just pure frustration before getting a call from Jade, who is the last of her friends now that is still alive. Is he okay? Jade whispers. He's not, Mia answers. Jade starts crying and apologizing. Just shut up, Mia says. Try to stay calm. It was a lot of money, Jade says through sobs. Mia's like, whoa, what? Lainey paid you to do this?
Yeah.
Jade emphasizes that it really was a lot of money and she and Santi had planned to split it with Mia after. A video message comes in from Kellen, sent to both Mia and Jade. It's a video of Lainey working the checkout at a grocery store. It's followed up with a video of Lainey crying, seemingly right before she was killed, admitting that she was broke. She pretended to have a lot of money for the attention, but it was all a lie.
Okay.
Mia holds the phone back up to her ear. But Mia, Jade starts, she had the money. We really thought. And then the phone line goes dead. Mia opens up a private chat with Kellen, asking him if he gave Lonnie the money to set all of this up. As she hits send, she hears a text message received from somewhere else in the house. She sends more messages, and the ping continues with each message. Grabbing a pair of scissors as a weapon, Mia makes her way toward the sound. And she finds the closet where the ping seems to be coming from. No one seems to be there. But Mia slowly reaches for, like, the rack of clothes and whips them to the side. A dead body wrapped in plastic falls forward out of the closet. Mia screams. This body has been dead a while.
What the hell?
But Mia recognizes her mother.
What?
Mm-hmm.
Who was at the funeral? Oh my gosh, did they dig her out?
So, she looks deeper into the closet, where she finds a laptop on the floor, open to a page of security cameras featuring different rooms in the house. Looking at the entryway cam, she sees a figure walk toward the front door and stop. I guess you found Mom, a female voice says, looking straight into the camera. It's Nicole. Mia calls Nicole's phone from her spot in the closet, and Nicole picks up the phone.
But there's a video. Is she making Kellen work with her then? There's been video calls from Kellen.
Well, we'll get into it.
Okay.
What did you do? Mia asks. I feel so much better now that you know, Nicole responds. Mia's like, well, we buried Mom. Well, no, obviously we didn't, Nicole says.
What are you talking? Okay.
When Mia asks her how, Nicole simply tells her that people will do anything for money. She's like, do you really want to know the details? And Mia's like, no, I guess I don't. Which I guess is kind of fair. It's true that people will do anything for money, unfortunately.
Yeah.
We also learned that Nicole had the hotel patch Mia threw to her cell phone. And yeah, no, Kellen had nothing to do with any of this.
So what was up with the video calls? Were those not real? Were those just like on screen? Or am I misremembering?
Well, there were video calls of her friends. None of them showed Kellen.
Why did I think that there was a video call straight from Kellen? Okay, so there wasn't.
I mean,
so
like,
he's just...
Kellen's video call, like, Kellen did video call, but it was never of himself. It was always of the people around
him. Like his voice with not showing himself. Okay.
Yeah, and there were a lot of like regular, this movie's a little tricky in the sense that it switches back and forth between video calls, voice calls, and text messages, and video messages. There's like multiple forms of communication. So it's like hard to keep track of it.
Aw, poor Kellen.
Nicole taps a button on her screen, sending a feed to the laptop Mia sits in front of. This video is from the camera in her mother's room. It's an old video showing Nicole holding a pillow over their mother's face until she dies.
Okay.
The camera switches back over to Nicole in the hallway. She says that she had to do it. She wasn't her anymore becoming less her every day. But now she's still her because of what she did. Mia is beside herself. Like, what is going on? This is batshit insane.
Yep.
How could you pick Lainey over me? Nicole screams. I'm your sister. Yes, but Mia starts, you're sick. Kind of crazy.
That is like, crazy.
Like, I don't care that she's
okay,
sick.
Well,
like,
you might as well be dead. You're sick.
Like, that's
like, what?
Like, what is happening here?
Yeah.
Nicole just looks defeated and then explains that, well, the second part of this, she never planned on. The first part, it was going to be a big, fun joke. But then when Nicole asked where Chico was and Mia still lied, she couldn't even tell her the truth. She still covered for her friends. Mia just wants to know where Jade is.
Mm-hmm.
Sheesh, you're ready to play again already? I thought you'd want a break, Nicole responds. Mia cannot believe that she's still going at it with this.
Mm-hmm.
But Nicole's like, this could have been you, Mia. You could have been the sick one. But instead, Nicole has to deal with the injections, the mood swings, the personality changes, all of it. And she kind of talks a little bit here about, like, that she's not always like this. Like, this is part of the disease. Like, her personality changes. She's even having trouble walking, which is the thing that pisses Nicole off the most. Something as simple as walking, she can't do normally anymore. So here's Mia's next challenge. Mia has 5 minutes to break her leg or Jade dies.
I don't think I could do that.
I know. I think my first thought was I would jump out like a window or like like from the roof or something and try and do it in a way where I could survive, but like try and break my leg.
And maybe try not to break your leg, but like just try to get a sprain and then you're out there and then you just run away.
We're going to address this too, believe it or not.
Okay.
In order to prove to Mia that she's not messing around, she walks over to Jade, who's tied up in the living room, and the camera switches over. She continues to explain how much pain she experiences due to living Sin's disease. Sometimes it feels like sharp shooting pains all over your body, like little knives. She digs the knife into Jade's leg a few times to show she means business and then starts counting down.
Mm-hmm.
Mia's 5 minutes has begun. So Mia runs through the house trying to figure out how she's going to break her leg. She starts just like hitting it on things, but like that's not going to do it.
No.
So she goes over to like the balcony area above the stairs. And you know how there's like the banisters?
Yeah.
Like she puts her leg up in between one of them and like goes to raise the bat above her head. But just before she brings it down, her phone buzzes. It's her driver, Big Mike.
Oh, hey.
He's outside.
That's great timing. I right? feel like that genuinely feels like a 25-minute span that they took there in the movie.
Yeah, right?
Like, it's like, he's here. Makes sense. Yeah. Oh, my God. That's so funny.
Nicole's like, who's that? Why is there a car outside? Did you call someone? And Mia insists that she didn't. And she actually rapidly, like, messages the driver to leave. She's like, please get out of here. I canceled. Like, I'm sorry. Mia's headspace throughout all of this is truly that if she contacts anyone, they're going to die. Like, her friends are going to die. So she just has him get out of there. Now, I think risking it in this instance, why wouldn't you? Like, call 911. Somebody's trying to kill me. Like, send that to your driver.
I feel like also we've gathered by this point that the game doesn't really matter. She's just going to kill when and she wants to. So it's like you might as well try to make a break for it at this point. Playing the game isn't going to help you.
Exactly. Well, Mia picks the bat back up and slams it down on her leg. And it clearly hurt, but she can't tell if it's broken. So Nicole tells her that if she can't tell that it's broken, then it's not broken enough.
Oh, my God.
So Mia absolutely goes to town.
That's
whacking
crazy.
Herself in the leg repeatedly.
It's I couldn't.
Like, no, it's crazy. The amount of force she's like applying over and over is actually insane. I didn't even watch this part the first time because I was like, I can't. It's not as bad as it sounds. Like, I was listening and I thought it was going to be worse. But yeah, she just repeatedly whacks herself in the leg.
Wild.
Until we hear a crack. And we do get one nasty shot of her leg bent at a weird angle, like near the ankle. I did it, she screams. And then Nicole responds with, I said legs, not leg, which no, she didn't. That's a lie.
She's so annoying. This is why you should have made a run for it. Like, why are we still playing this game? She's showed us time and time again. This is like, there's no integrity in the game.
Exactly. It pissed me off that she says this because like, she never said legs. She said leg every time.
Mm-hmm.
But now that's the deal. She has to break both legs. Oh my God. Mia just like throws herself over the balcony from the second floor into the entryway. And she is in pain. And she lays on the floor crying. Nicole slowly walks up to Mia now. That was quite a jump. But looks like you still only got one. Nicole steps on Mia's leg, causing her excruciating pain.
Mm-hmm.
You really love your friends, Nicole says sadly. Mia just asks if Jade is okay, but Nicole ignores her. I can't believe you broke your leg for Jade, which is honestly too bad because, yeah, Jade is dead.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I'm not surprised. Exactly. Oh, my God. Okay. Yeah.
So Nicole takes a seat on the floor next to Mia and tells her that she's honestly surprised. I didn't think you could be this selfless, she says. If only you would have done it for me. Nicole lays next to Mia now and goes, do you know how many dogs I had to kill?
Okay, to see this I literally, whole thing up? That just crossed my mind because I'm crossing names off and I see Chico on the list. Right. I'm like, okay, are we going to return to the dog killer thing? What? Right. Why is she a dog killer?
There's a lot. Okay, we have a lot to talk about.
Yeah.
I'll just say this now. This is actually one of the complaints most people, like, people mostly hate this movie. Yeah. I think it's bad, but it's fun.
No, yeah, it's entertainingly bad.
Exactly. But people are like, the dog killer aspect of it shouldn't have been a part because, like, then no matter, like, even though Nicole has, like, some genuine, like, concerning issues with Mia that are legitimate,
mm-hmm.
the fact that she killed dogs, you can't feel bad for her.
No.
Because what was she, why was she doing that?
Literally, why? Does she say why?
Well, I think it all comes back to the fact that she wanted to set up this prank, and for whatever reason, she felt that it had to be elaborate enough, where she killed all these dogs, and then that's why she needed a babysitter for Chico. It all is very, very convoluted.
Yes. Yeah.
And it all also, like, we don't even get into this, so I can talk about this now, but it's like, well, she killed Janelle at the beginning of the movie.
Yeah.
Somehow guilt Mia into saying yes to the dog sitting job. Like, that's kind of the way I read it, but obviously it's the most convoluted, everything had to be perfect,
right,
situation.
Like, you don't need to be doing all that.
Right. It's insane.
Mm-hmm.
So Mia looks disgusted mm-hmm. in regards to the dog thing, because aren't we all?
Mm-hmm.
I really thought you were going to pick me in the end, Nicole says, but you didn't. And if you didn't pick me now, you're not going to pick me later. Nicole goes off on Mia about her inability to handle complicated feelings. Everything about her is fake. It's curated for the internet. And Mia tries to defend herself, but Nicole is dead set on her own truth. But I did it. I did all of your tests, Mia cries. But for them, Nicole seeds.
Mm-hmm.
She pulls out a gun. She's like, okay, I'll shoot you. I shoot myself. And we can all be done with this. A bark comes from outside. Followed by a knock on the front door.
Oh my God, is it Kellen?
Nicole threatens Mia, saying, if you move or say anything, I'll kill whoever this is. She gets up and answers the front door. It's the real Kellen!
Yes! Oh my God, I want him to please be the hero.
Right? He found Chico wandering around in his yard and he wanted to bring him home.
Aw.
Nicole thanks him for helping to keep Chico safe, but as she goes to close the door, Chico lets out a little bark from on the floor. When Kellen looks on the floor, he sees the puddle of blood in the entranceway from earlier, and he's, you know, thrown off.
Yep.
Nicole's like, oh, that's not what it looks like. Teehee, I spilled red paint. Whoopsies.
Okay.
And a split screen. It goes like split screen here. And we can see both like Nicole talking to Kellen and also Mia scooping up Chico and like quietly limping out of the entryway.
Mm-hmm.
Nicole's like, okay, thanks. Bye. But before she can close the door, Kellen is like, so how's your sister? And this in split screen, Mia sees Jade's dead body. So she knows for a fact that she's dead.
Mm-hmm.
But Nicole is like, what? Why are you asking about Mia? Kellen says he was just curious because he saw her come by earlier and thought he could say hi. He's never had the chance to meet her before. Nicole's like, oh, sorry, she actually left already. No, she didn't, Kellen says. Her car is still here.
Yep.
Oh, right. Yeah, no, she wasn't feeling well, so she got a ride, Nicole defends herself. Kellen stays standing on the doorstep as the two of them kind of just stare at each other in silence for a second. Ah, for fuck's sake, Nicole says. She whips out the gun and shoots Kellen dead right where he stands.
No. Oh, poor Kellen.
I know. Kellen is just dragged through the mud in this whole movie.
That's the most tragic part of the movie is Kellen.
Kellen. It's so sad. So as Nicole slams the door shut and turns back into the house, all the lights go out. She calls out for Mia, but gets no reply. Her phone starts to buzz. It's a call now from an unknown number.
Oh, yes.
She picks it up. This isn't funny, Mia, she says. Who says this is Mia? Says the same male voice from earlier.
Yep.
Nicole's impressed. She's like, oh, you found the voice changer app. Good job. But Nicole continues, this is stupid. Your leg is broken. You're not getting away. We'll see, Mia says. A notification beeps on Nicole's phone. Oh, guess who just went live? It's Makeup by Mia. She stands in the kitchen holding Chico. Hi, guys. So my sister just killed my friends, and I think she wants to kill me next. But first, I think I'll kill her dog.
What? What? Mia, no. Mia, no. Mia, I would rather her die. Wow. Like, I'd rather Nicole successfully kill Mia than Mia kill Chico.
I'm not surprised that this is what you're saying.
You're willing to kill a dog because of your sister being a bad person? You know what? If we all went around killing the bad people's children, I don't think that would do any good. I think that you're a psychopath. Like, kill your sister. Don't kill her dog.
Right. So Mia holds the knife to Chico, and Nicole makes her way to the kitchen with her gun outstretched in front of her. It seems very quiet. Suddenly, Mia pops out from behind the wall and tackles Nicole to the ground. This is all being captured live, and we see multiple people watching. Comments are coming in, like, is this real? What's going on? Nicole and Mia wrestle on the floor. We're hand-to-hand combat, and do remember Mia's leg is broken.
Yeah.
But she still does pretty all right, at least for a while anyway. Nicole manages to get herself on top of Mia and puts her hands around her throat. Mia's struggling, but she's able to send, like, a knee into Nicole's body, and somehow, I don't know, this, like, knocks her out.
Oh, okay.
It does. She falls down and, like, she's motionless. So Mia gets up and calls for Chico. He comes running from another room. She was never going to kill him.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, that's fine. I mean, it's still crazy.
Yeah.
To put on, just specifically to put on the internet, because, like, how are you going to explain that?
Exactly.
But I guess that's smart to, like, lure her sister. Okay, that's fine.
So Mia grabs some keys by the front door and the dog and heads out. Side. She makes it to the end of the walkway before collapsing. Dropping Chico, he takes off running.
Oh my god, imagine he just gets hit by a bus and then the movie
ends. My god, don't even say that. A voice comes from off screen. You Mia? A man asks. Mia looks over and it's Big Mike, her Uber driver. She just goes, no.
Oh.
I don't know why, but she says, no.
Oh, okay.
Okay. So we're going to leave her there on the sidewalk.
Okay.
And we cut back to the live stream in the kitchen and the camera is still just like sitting in the same spot in silence. And the chat is like, whoa, what's happening? Is this part of the prank? Like, did we just see someone die? Suddenly, Nicole pops up dramatically from the floor and grabs the camera and the movie ends.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I hated this experience. I'm actually missing the mean one at the moment. Wow. That was something.
Remember, this was the best of five options I had this week.
That's so crazy.
Yep.
No, it's good. It's good for the podcast, but it's still crazy that this was the best of five.
I know. Believe me.
What a week you've had.
I'm going to just let you decide what your feelings are. I'm just going to let you take the reins here.
You know how you felt about Better Watch Out, where it's like this little boy that she's been babysitting and she's pissed off because it's this little boy and it's just like you don't even want to take it serious. That's how I would feel if like my sister did this to me. I'd be like, yeah, fucking right. Like I would not let her get away with this. Like you thought.
Yeah.
So that's a little bit on my mind too as far as like when I find out who it really is, I'd be like, oh, fuck that. I'm not playing with you. Like,
right.
I know you. I'm not playing with you.
That's actually, that's a good point.
I think, of course, I do want to give myself another 100. Mm-hmm. But I just don't think that that would be realistic.
Yeah.
So I'm going to give myself for the third, only thinking of myself as Mia, a 88.
It almost happened. It almost
did you do
happened.
89?
87.
87? Dang it.
I mean, this one wouldn't have been as interesting for all of our scores to match because they were hundreds, but
sure,
we were very, very close.
Oh my gosh, imagine. Yeah, because we were both hundreds for the first. That would have been like a full like sweep.
Yeah.
Oh, that's so close. Yeah. 88, because it's like, I really just don't want to believe that I couldn't get out of the situation.
Right.
With my fuck-ass sister trying to do all this shit. Like, I would be like, absolutely not. I'm putting this to an end. I'm calling the cops. I don't care about your game. Like, you're so stupid. What are you doing?
For sure.
Oh, it's so hard to put myself in her shoes with these characters. That's like part of what's hard. Because it's like, I wouldn't, like, my sister wouldn't do this. I wouldn't believe it if my sister did this. I wouldn't choose my friends over my sister. So, like, my sister wouldn't even be mad at me. Like, it's just like.
Yeah, that's also a good point. I, in that, you know, Lainey versus Nicole moment, I think both of us are picking Nicole.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know?
You would think.
Yeah.
So that's, it's just a hard one because I just wouldn't, this would just never happen to me. So I guess in a way you can argue like each act, like all that's revealed in every act, it just never would I would never be in that position.
Right.
As myself or with the people I surround myself with.
For sure.
So you could argue 100, I think, for the third, but like, ugh, it's just too much of a cop out.
Right. No, I felt the same way.
And you have to force yourself to be this person with these people. And that's where I'm doing the 88.
Yep. Really, for me, it's like a little bit of leeway in that, like, your leg is broken at the end. And like, I'm imagining we're in that hand-to-hand combat moment. And just like, there's a lot of room for error in the third act in particular. Like, because obviously her sister's insane and you just don't know what she's going to do.
Right. Like, it's still risky. I think as Mia, I think I could 100% survive.
Okay.
But as Mia, I couldn't 100% save everyone else. And that's
For sure.
It gets tricky because you're going to be a good person and try to save someone, but then that's where you overlook like your personal way to get out is because you're trying to help others. But like, honestly, if you look at it, if you want to just fuck everyone else, you could get out of this so easy.
Yeah, it's just a wonky one. But what was cool about this one, I thought, for the podcast is like there are a lot of literal choices that have to be made.
Which
a
I love.
A lot of like, it's what fun. Would you do in this particular? Are you going to inject yourself with the needles? Which I guess, by the way, were fakes because nothing ever comes of that. But yeah, like who are you going to like genuinely in a moment where you have to choose between two loved ones? Like who are you going to choose? Like I don't think anyone ever knows that unless they're put in that situation, obviously.
Yeah.
But I thought, I don't know, it was an interesting conversation to have.
Yeah.
So for me, my overall score for the episode is a 93.5, which means it's a 94.
Okay. Wait, is that weighted or just
weighted?
Weighted. Okay, so mine comes out to a weighted 94.
Okay. So it is 94 today, which I think it's pretty easy to say. There was just a lot of opportunities in this movie to, one, again, probably wouldn't be here, but a lot of opportunity to kind of get out in a lot of suspension of belief that has to happen in this movie of like, well, why didn't she just do that? Like, she could have just done that. So that's where we come in and we tell you, you could have just done that.
Yep.
And we tell you that we would have a 94% chance of surviving this movie.
Absolutely.
Thank you guys so much for tuning in and hanging out with us this week. As always, please check us out over on Instagram at I'd Survive Podcast. There you can also find the link to our Discord where you too can submit your own score. So let us know. Would you survive?